this cup's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pod.
Woo, sir. How we doing? It is an emergency pod. Emergency podcast, sir. There's a lot going on both ends of the America Red Devils spectrum. Most importantly, Manchester United. They're always in the news. They're in the news, especially now, because, you know, there's Ronaldo stuff. There's Glazer stuff. Where do we start? We also have the men's, U.S. men's national team, who came off a disappointing draw yesterday against the minnows of Wales. You know, we'll talk about that as well, sir. But big news, the big news is CR7 gets the boot, gets the axe. It was mutually agreed upon, which is great. So there's no extra long, drawn-out drama in addition to the existing drama. And then that is quickly followed, like within an hour or two, that United, for real now, are actually looking, allegedly, course, always. Actually, they made a statement.
It's not a legend.
It's no legend now. No, now it's full on statements. They named banks. They've named law firms. The club's on the sale. Club's on the block. How are we feeling, sir?
If you've listened to this podcast, we said that the announcement isn't going to come on a fan channel on YouTube. It's not going to come on Twitter from some random dude. They are a public company. They have fiduciary responsibility, reporting responsibility is going to come from them. And that this statement is it. You see it right here. Manchester United PLC announces the process to enhance the club's future growth with the ultimate goal of positioning the club to capitalize on opportunities both on and off the pitch commercially. As part of the process, the board of directors has approved and will consider all strategic alternatives, including new investment into the club, a sale, or other transactions involving the company. Now, that is doesn't say much, but says a lot, because they have to disclose this process. They have disclosed who is working on it. We said it would come from an investment bank as well. They have bankers. They have lawyers hired here. This is the real deal, Holyfield. But this strategic, I mean, as far as the who's going to buy a portion of the club, if they're going to buy all the club, that's up in the air. But like we said, they're a public company, and this news would come straight from the source. It did, and this is real. Officially, sir, it is real. It's just the beginning. Obviously, rumors kind of bubbled up earlier. They commented on them, but this is what we've all been waiting for the longest time. The club, like we have said, has no money. They've mortgaged the mortgage. They've put so much debt on it. There's no cash for the stadium redevelopment. There's no cash for Carrington. This club has mortgaged the mortgage. It's so bare bones. It's done. The Glazers aren't putting any money in. And this is literally saying, we've hit the end of the line. The horse can't be sold for any more glue. And we got to find another way to move forward. Part of that could be a sale, part of that could be exploring investment, and part of that could be Maui Jim Stadium. We do not know. We shall see.
You know, as usual, the Glazers are keeping all their options open. They're keeping the option open of a partial, i.e. a minority sale, which few buyers would be interested based on where the club is at today and given how much they've degraded the asset and little investment they've actually put in, because there's so much money removed from even the squad development, and a new director of football, a new technical director, a new CEO is needed. It's like, we need a whole new stadium. That's a bill. We need a new Carrington. That's probably a quarter of a bill. And then players and recruitment and staff and the like, that's probably two bill. So at the end of the day, I don't think you're going to find anybody that's willing to put in money so the Glazers can hang around and keep taking money out. Hopefully it's in the form of a sale, whether or not they can extract the fee that they need to in order to hit their kind of their floor, sir. I'm sure they've got a floor in their family. They talk about at Thanksgiving, their version of Thanksgiving. Maybe it's $5 billion. I think the number that's being rumored is $6 billion. We got quoted, what, 10 billion, sir? Was that a month ago? Only a month ago, I think. Maybe 6 weeks ago, where they were quoting that number in the papers. Very interesting now, because you have United on the block. You have Liverpool on the block. And, you know, the rumors, there are many rumors on side of the rumors. One is that it's going to be likely an American buyer. I don't know if they know that yet. You tell me, sir, what you think. That might be a little speculative. And that could go one of two ways. And then there's always the deep pocket sports washing buyers, mostly in the Middle East. That could also be something to keep an eye on. But either way, it's in play. And this is hopefully the beginning of a new chapter in Manchester United's history. We've had ghoulish owners for a long time, just people who, you know, have no care or decency for the club, its fans, its history, its legacy, etc. I don't know. You could always get worse buyers. They could be worse than the Glazers, but beginning of a new journey. Let's hope.
Yeah, and this is one that should both be exciting for Manchester United fans and make them a little bit nervous. Because the Glazers might not leave. They could sell, do a sale lease back on Old Trafford, oof, right? You know, they could sell the ground like Chelsea was trying to do. There are options here. They could sell, do a Barca, cleave off their TV rights to raise money. This has nothing to do with Ronaldo. This has to do with how they've run the club. And we've been covering this club for 5+ years now. 2 years ago, we were talking about, even a year ago with the Super League, that was their bet. They were running the club and not putting money into it and running into the ground, and they thought they could get that big Super League windfall and that'd keep this horrible operation running. They lost that, and there was really nothing left. And they're back against the wall. TeamViewer rumored to pull out as well. The club is on the decline. It would literally take, you need $1 billion for the stadium, 250 to 300 million for Carrington, $1 billion for the team. No, you look at the enterprise value of the club trading on the New York Stock Exchange today. That's where the club is. No one's going to pay you that amount of money or invest that amount of money for a minority stake. That's why it's really change of control here, because the amount of money that would be required for them to raise would be so dilutive that it would take over the majority control in the club. This is really a sale. They care about hand. The Glazers care about optics. They care how they look. They're not going to say that they don't want to control it. This is they're not going to say sale right off the bat.
That's how they save face?
That's how they're saving face. Yeah. They don't want to give you an inch. The club's for sale. And it's because of how it's been run. Look, it's going to be a huge win for them. They get paid a ton of money. They go away. We'll stop bothering them. And it's really about who comes in to own it. Bezos could buy it. Elon Musk looks like he's busy. There's big names out there. I mean, he would have been much better off.
He would.
Spending $5 billion on Manchester United than on Twitter. And that just seems like it's going to go into the ground. Either way, somebody, like some billionaires, got to come buy it. Hopefully Ratcliffe is an outside straight draw to purchase Manchester United. But this is a huge, and whoever is going to own it, I just want them, even like Todd Boehly, who bought Chelsea, is kind of a numpty, but his vision for what he wants to do with the club and, you know, linking the academy with the first team and, you know, focusing on data, more analytics, like, I want someone who cares about the club and wants to take it, you know, into the future. You know, someone who thinks of the next 100 years of Manchester United. It's really sad if you consider where we are as Muppets squabbling over like an old legend like leaving, and we're fifth or sixth in the table, and we're just fighting with each other, and you know, getting smoked by City and making excuses that we can never beat them because they're so good. And we've fallen so far from where we should be as a club. I mean, we were winning league after league, competing at the highest level, and now we're like in Europa League scraping, and we're like coming up with excuses for why we should be there. The next owner has to restore Manchester United to where it needs to be. And let's hope it's a breath of fresh air and somebody who really gets it, because the Glazers haven't, and it's good riddance to them. This, as far as timing goes, this is a year. Takes a year to sell an asset.
Yep.
Look at how long it took Chelsea. Anytime you kick off a change of control or M&A process.
And that wasn't normal. That wasn't a normal change of control. It, that was forced, right? So it was accelerated. That was a quick, sale.
Yeah.
That was not normal.
It was still 6 months.
Right.
So you have to get bidders, then they got to do diligence, then you lock up with somebody, and then it's like, you know, confirmatory diligence. That's like 5 or 6 months. They're a public company, right? So it adds more paperwork to it, more diligence required. So, you know, this will end with the Glazers out, Arnold and Murtaugh out.
Thank God.
And, you know, hopefully a new vision for Manchester United. And like we've said, we've studied our history. The club's been through terrible owners before. And usually what has come after terrible owners are great owners, like, you know, John Henry Davies saving the club from going under, bought the land at Old Trafford, you know, built the stadium. He believed in the vision for the club, and hopefully we have a similar owner after the Glazers.
We can hope, sir. We can certainly hope. No guarantee in terms of what profile they will look like, given that, you know, they basically fit two profiles now, by and large. That's buy in a football club past 2020. It's either generally an American private equity firm, or like an oligarch slash, you know, country in the Middle East that are buying it to prop up their nation. So it's going to be one of those two, most likely. Maybe you could have like an eccentric billionaire that, you know, is a fan of the club.
Jim Radcliffe is the...
We'd love that, but I don't know if he's got the pockets for it. Like you said, $6 billion just to buy the club. Then you got to spend another two to get it back to the place where, you know, any competent owner is going to want to do. Maybe you do that over 10 years, so it's more of a manageable spend. But that being said, the Glazers, they've had their legacy on this club, sir. United is... We are where we are today because of them in terms of what has happened over the last 10 years since 2013, since Fergie left, and their just dereliction of duty and basically handing the club over to morons in the form of Ed Glazer and now fatter, maybe smarter, maybe dumber, we'll find out, Richard Arnold, Woodward 2.0. And you know what? Todd Boehly, like you said, he is an umpty, sir. But one thing he did was as soon as he got in, you know, he almost bought Harry Maguire off us. Shame on us. Should have sold him. But he actually like hired competent people, you know. Their new manager is getting off to a bit of a rocky start, but they brought in technical talent from the Brightons of the world, from their sneaking around RBs of the world. They're not bringing in like the former number two to your incompetent CEO that literally arguably had one of the worst tenures in the last 25 years in all of sport. Like, I don't know who had a worse tenure.
Yeah, but this is gonna stop. Someone who buys it is gonna
can't do worse than the Glazers, right? Can't be like worse than the Glazers.
No, that's the whole point. It's like, people trying to, like, we have gotten to the point as a fan base where, like, people are defending Murtaugh and Richard Arnold, where it's like, it's Looney Tunes. These guys have made bad decisions. Like, this past summer, the money they spent was spent poorly. If you really think about it, what a director of football should be doing, you look at Manchester United's squad and you say, yeah, it'd be nice to pay $90 million for, like, one right winger with an awesome left foot, but given we need a right back, we need center back. You know, we arguably need another midfielder. We need a striker. Like, you can't make that purchase. It makes no sense. And obviously, like, Ten Hag shouldn't be the DOF or telling them what to do. That's not the right way to do it either, because if Ten Hag gets sacked next year, we're right back to Louis van Gaal square one, getting rid of players in a horrible manner. The way Manchester United is operated is just unsustainable. It's just... The only thing we know how to do is just burn cash, waste money.
Yep.
Everything we touch turns up bad. Cristiano Ronaldo turns up bad. Paul Pogba turns up bad. Lukaku turned up bad. Cavani went sour at the end of the day, never really lived up to his potential. Sanchez, Falcao, go down the list. Or every single player, you could literally be like, everything we touch goes to ruin at Manchester United. And that is because you cannot escape a horrible board who appoints incompetent management and that runs all the way down. That is why Manchester United, you can't survive that. And let's hope this is a new day. I really do think Edwin van der Sar is the man to work with Erik ten Hag. He should be the CEO or at least head of DOF. And someone should report into like a figurehead president. But it should be very simple in who you need to hire and how we can be successful going forward. So hopefully a new dawn for Manchester United. But, sir, we will comment on this story as it develops. We thought we just had to get right out in front of it and discuss it because we've been beating this drum for a long
one.
Time.
It's a big one for the American Red Devils because we've – come on. Glazer's out always. And we've – you know, we became fans of this club just as they got their tentacles around it. And they've been sucking the life out of this great institution for going on 2 decades, sir. And we've seen that decline happen, really. Like, we joined on about highs of highs, and it's incredible what greed and incompetency can do over 2 decades. Better late than never, sir. I just hope the new owners are a little bit more benevolent and a lot more shrewd.
Great. And then moving on to the next topic, obviously, you know, you think this is going to be the big news we're going to talk about until the Glazer story was announced. It would be CR7 parting ways with Manchester United. Look, this is good. We terminate the contract. We don't owe him a ton of money. We're not going to sue a former legend. He moves on. We move on. This should have happened in the summer. 100% this should have been what happened in the summer, given what Ten Hag wanted, which clearly is not an old striker who doesn't press and doesn't listen because he has an ego the size of a planet. Should have been done the summer. Incompetent board, incompetent management team. They kept Ronaldo. It got messy. Ronaldo went all in. It got messy, no pun intended. Ronaldo went all in with the interview.
Get some, sir. Get some. I love it. Let's go.
Ronaldo went all in with the interview, and it worked.
That was a Rojo tackle interview.
The interview is, I ain't going back. Yeah, you might as well say,
basically, you know, fuck
like,
all
that
them.
Was literally like people yeah. like, and the thing is, like, again, like we didn't comment on the interview because it's just all that is just like, I think we tried to cover it in a way which is, it's just people taking the bait. That's just like outrage media, Twitter clip media, quote rage media. That's like all it is. He went to Piers Morgan because he said, I never want to go back. I'm going scorched earth so they can never bring me back. It worked. It worked. That's what Ronaldo wanted. Yep. But he wanted that in the summer. He should have done the scorched earth interview in the summer. And, you know, I'm glad he, you know, he didn't treat Erik ten Hag well. You could tell he's got thin skin. He was so mad because Gary Neville said something about him on TV. He doesn't shake his hand. The guy's got an ego the size of a planet. I mean, what do you
bigger
expect
than you thought,
about
sir.
Ronaldo?
Sir, bigger than
you, know?
You thought. It's the size of a fucking solar system.
Yeah, but that's
but bigger than
also,
a planet.
You don't bring a guy who has the ego the size of a planet and throw him on the bench and think it's going to work out either. So it's just kind of one of those things where, like, we should have moved on in the summer. As soon as he started acting a fool, saying he wants Champions League, doing all that, it's just like, get rid of him, man. And like, you and me know that. Dude, I don't want Ronaldo to leave. I'm a Ronaldo Muppet. I want him to stay. Hell, I want Wayne Rooney with that fat head he's got running around at Old Trafford.
So do I, bro.
But at the end of the day,
you
got to let him go because that's the business. It's a business. If he doesn't want to play for you, you get him out. And I think the Glazers wanted him to stay to make a little more money, and that's what created this horrible situation. Another part of the Glazers' legacy. But I think this is a clean break. Amicable divorce. So that's why you never go back to the ex-girlfriend, you know?
It's a relatively clean break. Like you said, this whole thing should have been avoided because United should have just listened to the new manager that they basically appointed as their pseudo director of football because their actual director of football is not qualified / incompetent. And they should have avoided this whole mess. You know, Ronaldo can't take back the interview, but he went full guns blazing. He was like, I'm getting out of this fucking contract. Piers, I'll give you 90 minutes. I'll say anything you want.
Yeah.
He said, I just feel kind of bad for Ronaldo watching that. It made me sad more than anything. But I'm glad that they finally realized, oh, shit, this is going south. We need to end the contract. He agreed to it. We agreed to it. We walk away. He moves on with his life. Happy go lucky. The interview sucked. We don't need to talk about the interview, but it was effective because, you know what? Joel Glazer is the one who held up him leaving in the summer. Joel Glazer's a fucking idiot. He didn't know what the offsides rule was. He probably still doesn't. The point is, he shouldn't be making the calls, and he should have never been here, and we should have just had last year, and that would have been like a nice, actually positive for a shit season. Was that Ronaldo played really well, had a bunch of good hat tricks, had a bunch of winning hat tricks, had a bunch of comeback wins, and we could have let him go and rode into Europa League on our donkey.
Yeah.
And instead,
exactly.
They allowed this to happen, so fuck the Glazers. And fuck Richard Arnold and fuck whoever oversaw this. And you know what? There is an element of shame on Ronaldo, but I don't need to do that right now, sir, because this is about positivity and looking forward. And now it's like clean break. Now get the man a striker in January. If they do not sign a striker, we are like We're fucked.
Yeah, well, guess what? Cody Gapko's price just went up. Ooh, so, you know, yeah, what? It's like, yeah, exactly. But at the end of the day, Ronaldo said it in the interview, like one of the more like obviously him
said a
like,
lot.
He doesn't like Ten Hag. Like,
nobody.
That's very clear.
Doesn't like him anybody. Ten Hag, really.
Don't get it wrong. Like, so like newsflash. My whole thing was, is Ronaldo a sensitive, thin-skinned egomaniac? Yes, he is. Can he score goals? Yes, he can. Okay, he's staying at Manchester United. He's going to have to be treated like with kid glove. You're going to have to treat him with special care. Roll out the red carpet. Ronaldo, you're so great. You saw how Piers Morgan was like slobbering all over him in the interview. Like, didn't say one negative thing about him. That's just the way he is. And look, Ten Hag came in and said, bro, you're on the bench, dude. You're like, you're going to get treated like this 18-year-old over here. You better not be late to the meeting. And like, I don't know why I know that wasn't going to fly with Ronaldo, but somehow like Ten Hag and the board didn't, like, you know what I'm saying? If he stays, you have to play him. If he doesn't stay, then if you're not going to play him, then move him on. That's where, and I actually do agree with you. It was the board that botched this, because Ten Hag would have definitely moved him on.
He would have. He wanted him gone, dude.
But he had to stay for like probably commercial reasons. And then he's benching Ronaldo, and like, you're going to bench the guy with the ego the size of a planet and not going to think he's going to go crazy. Like, he went absolutely nuts. It's like, is it right that he went
nuts?
Don't
justify his behavior. No. Don't justify his behavior. Sir,
he's an egomaniac.
I know. He's like he's beyond that. He's like,
do you think everyone in football is these humble guys? You don't need to manage egos in a dressing room. Like, I would argue,
but he's beyond that.
He's
the most famous athlete in the entire world. Forget soccer.
What do you think's going on with Jadon Sancho right now?
But that is why he needs to manage the way he's managing, because right now it's more important to get the most out of Rashford and Sancho, who are both had dips in form heading into the season with that hard-nosed approach, as in, like, you're going to work your fucking ass off. I'm going to make you into a great player. It doesn't work for Ronaldo, who's past it. He is. He hasn't played well this season, let's be honest. Now, arguably, that's because he doesn't fit well into this makeout, this setup with his high press, because he just can't run that long for 90 minutes. But for certain players, it got what we needed. And you know what? This is probably an outcome that, like, given the fact that he walked into week one with CR7 still in his team, that he got rid of him before Christmas, he's probably fucking thrilled. He's like, hey, he's gone. It was a mess. But now everyone's going to be talking about the World Cup and United up for sale, and Piers Morgan's story's gone. It's amazing how fast news moves in the current era, because that shit, nobody cares about
that. It's a great outcome. Here's the thing. As a fan, it's a great outcome, but there is a little bit of like, what did you expect trying to bench this? Like, I'm going to say Ronaldo like is out of touch and probably like a lunatic.
He's a narcissist.
Like, you're going to bench this like lunatic, and you think he's just going to sit there and not like throw his toys out the prem? It's like, what happened? I was very attuned to. I was like, he is going to lose it. He's in the wrong, but like, we don't have another number nine. So, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I always felt like if we have him here this season, we do kind of have to acquiesce to him. Which
he had to Olay him.
Right.
He had to treat him like Olay would have, which is like, you can do anything you want. You can start every game.
So, like, that's what I don't understand is, like, if he was going – if we're not going to sign another number nine.
He didn't want him.
And you're going to rely on him, then you have to kind of play the – you're the best guy in the game and not offend him. And we decided to be like –
He captained him a week before he fucking went to Piers Morgan. So, like, I think Eric Ten Hag played it like he wanted to play it and actually played it well. It's just that, like, he got handed a shitty hand of cards, bro, by the board walking into the season. You cannot, like, coddle it over a hill. He's not even the player he was last season.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that's why.
But he got handed a bag of shit by
him,
the fucking
him
board.
Him saying all the things he said are just, like, out of line.
He called my boy Rooney a rat. Like, that is uncalled for, bro.
He's not even Neville.
He said something that was like pretty benign. If you look at what
he's a lunatic.
He literally, that's the only justification. Sorry, he's like, you understand the mind of this.
But if you're going to pay him $40 million and you don't have another striker,
I know it.
Then you got to deal with him being a lunatic.
I guess they didn't get the crib notes on CR7. Like, high touch points, really sensitive, doesn't like to be benched.
No one gave him the memo
about CR7 and all his baggage, apparently.
No, I regardless, I think the best point is this, like, it should have been move on Ronaldo. This is a rebuilding year. Sign another young number nine.
Sign a kid.
And we didn't do it. And so, again, we punted it to January. We should have, like, a lot of business that we could have done last year. We punted to the summer. We tried to do as much as possible. Now we're punting it to January. And now the club's for sale. A lot of uncertainty. The Glazers, you know, aren't going to be spending money. This could affect our transfer window as well. If you think of these strategic alternatives. And Ten Hag, I think, will be the perfect man for the future. But a lot of stuff is in flux right now at Manchester United. I do think, look, whether you like it or not, Ronaldo did the interview as an all-in move to get out of Dodge. And what worked. what we have is a statement from Ronaldo clapping up the fans and a statement from Manchester United saying thank you to Ronaldo. And ultimately, that's what that move was. It was an all-in, like, I'm out move, and it worked. He got his contract terminated. It's a negotiating.
I'd rather watch the Europa League final again than watch that 90-minute interview, bro.
It's not great.
It's fucking brutal, bro. It's brutal.
It's not like Do you watch it? I can't get out. I watch it. It's brutal. I can't get out of like there's a few funny things that Ronaldo talks about. One, he talks about kind of like how being a footballer is kind of just business. I thought that was like thinking about from his perspective, people just like trade you. It's like a business, like they're done with you, you know, and like I think football is a business. They talked about how like the young kids don't take the game as serious. And like Jadon Sancho came to mind, you know, like he's commenting on kind of the locker room. He commented on how like United's kind of frozen in time, which
we've heard that all before.
But that's also like, you know, that's good to hear from the, like, if you had to say there are some things he said from the inside, him and Ten Hag, that's just like, you know, that's his planet size ego, him going in at Rooney and him are like,
studs up Rooney, clearly.
They don't like each other. And yeah, I mean, like, those were just kind of like the highlights. I can't get over how he says marketing. He was talking about marketing, it's a marketing club, they kept marketing.
What would you rather have? More Instagram fans or more money in the bank account? That exchange is my least favorite. But
yeah, that is like
in a week, it was incredibly effective. If you look at the time lapse, like, okay, this shit started leaking on Monday last week. He's gone in like eight days, it's over. Now nobody cares.
But here's the deal. More importantly, okay, we got through the Ronaldo.
Okay, what about Berever?
It's all about Who the hell is going to score goals for Manchester United? We need a number nine. That's got to be the first question. Like, who is going to replace Ronaldo? And last time I heard, we were linked to some strikers out of MLS. So that's going to be a riot.
Anyone that played yesterday, my friend, against you know, a neighbor of England to the west, not to the north.
So at the end of the day, like, we got to focus on that. And then, sir, happy to switch gears. Anything else on Ronaldo? You want to like slate him? I know you're like the root.
I thought this was a good even conversation, sir. And I'm glad we did this when we did this and didn't do it right after the interview came out and it actually played out. And now, dude, we move on with our lives and let's bring in a good signing in January and even better signing in the summer. That's what I say. Let's talk about
sir. I absolutely.
Let's talk about freedom, baby. Freedom abroad.
Yeah, we'll be interested to see where he goes. Okay, let's talk about USA. And obviously, this is like a kind of quick emergency pod because, oh my God, we have to leave to go to like Dubai on Friday. And when you have two kids and we got a ton of work to do.
And I'm hosting this guy. My name's out.
And by the way, like preschool's closed. I'm like working, watching kids. And my wife's like probably going to kill me after we do this pod. So it's going to be in like a loose format.
Oh, they're going to be waiting for us with knives, sir.
I know. And we're leaving to go to the World Cup. Okay, U.S. plays Wales. You want to just play the goals here?
Great first half, I gotta say.
Great first half from the USA. Control the ball, create a few. There's a few flurry of chances. Cross from Weah off the Wales defender to the keeper. That almost went in. Then Sargent denied at the near post.
Tails looked dangerous.
And then Timmy Weah in the 36th minute, sir.
Sargent, Pulisic on the run. Pulisic has Weah. Pulisic rolls it in. Tim Weah!
This right here, so important. It drags the center back out.
Sorry, I should have the Spanish call. It was much better. But what a goal. What a run from Pooley. What a nice pass. And Wea does so well. So well on his right foot, like a little bit of a flick. And I saw this goal, and I was like, that was a peach from the U.S. men's national team. And we played well. Like, really dominated him in the first half. But, sir, you know what they say about football matches. You got to put together a full 90 minutes, right?
Yeah, as soon as we scored, the game opened up completely. We looked a little vulnerable even to close out the first half. And that was the story coming out second half. Dan James off. I forget who they put up top for Wales. But, man, they absolutely, like, killed us.
What was his name? Going Morris? Forward. He was he had, like, a Morrison? I think he came on as a striker.
Kiefer Moore,
that's it. They went size versus speed, and they were bodying Zimmerman.
Yeah, they went two up top, yep. And, like, basically what happened was we have a young group of kids, scored a goal, and then Wales started coming at us, and we had no answer. There was no adjustment from Burkheffer. He had no idea what to do. They had no idea
what to do.
He was
deers in a headlight, sir. He did, and then the changes he made. Like, deers in a headlight, like nothing. He's got nothing. He's like, the team was losing it 55th minute, 58th minute, 62nd. It was just like there needed
to be. No, he had to change.
They needed possession. They needed to lock down shop, and instead, like, they had nothing doing.
So, you know, his solution was he brought on Aronson for McKinney, who looks injured, which isn't great for the United States. Then he brought on Haji Wright, Yedlin, and Acosta. I thought Acosta didn't really play that well. And then he brought on Jordan Morris after Wales scored. But let's hear the penalty call here.
Have fun. Enjoy this one.
Johnson quickly in. Ramsey's there first, cutting it into the middle. Dangerous from Zimmerman. It's a penalty. Penalty for Wales as Bale goes down. 10 minutes to go, and Gareth Bale will step up as VAR can save the U.S.
Yeah, that's exactly the type of moment. Walker Zimmerman just tries to go through Gareth Bale there. He doesn't need to. Bale is in front of him.
Bale scores.
They got a player on their team that's pretty good at penalties. Turner guessed right. Good for him. But Jesus Christ, sir. That lunge. That's like a Philly Jones lunge right there. Like, back to goal. Yeah,
it's Bale. Honestly,
like, Turner does well a little bit earlier. So he made that big kind of like De Gea popover save. But this is just like embarrassing. You know, I mean, like, such a heavy tackle. Obvious, the ref's right there. It is a pen.
No, it's
Stonewall, but it's like, you don't tackle like
you
that.
You never, like, honestly.
Lunging.
Everyone watching this game who watches, like, EPL on a regular basis, you never see a defender do that. You'll never see it because it's a non-professional tackle. Where's Zimmerman play? Like, FC Cincinnati, bro? Maybe in, like, Cincinnati where ain't nobody watching you play. Like, you can try to tackle people like that. Bale back to goal, coming away from the goal. He goes through him for no reason. There's no way you could win the ball.
He knows what he's doing, bro. Bale knows how to win a penalty.
Think of anyone who would be playing there. I've never seen any defender on any, like, relative professional level make a challenge like that. And so Zimmerman's played well in qualifying. He's actually been, like, our locked-on center back. But this is the World Cup, man. World Cup, one bad decision. It's like, would you get one chance? One opportunity. That is true to anything. Like, he played great. You're a joke. He's a joke. I mean, like, he's got another opportunity, but, like, if we don't go through, it's because of this rash challenge. I'm super confident if he didn't make this challenge, that we didn't give them a penalty, we would have won 1-0. It would have been nervy, but Turner looks solid at the back.
He did.
The real, like, two. So, like, Zimmerman, you can make a mistake.
Replay all right. Yeah, he played well.
Like, he can make a mistake. That's on anyone. Also, you could talk about the ball being inbounds on the quick throw from Wales, but you got to be switched on and anticipating that. But it really comes down to the fact that this coach wants us to play a certain type of way, and we did in the first half, and we dominated, played better than I've ever seen in the U.S. Men's national team play. But you have to have a plan B. If you're going to score a goal, if you're going to break down the low block and you're going to get a goal and then Wales is going to come at you, and you absorb it, and then you realize, okay, we really aren't doing a good job absorbing pressure. We're very open. You have two things you can do with a 1-0 lead. Absorb the pressure, hit them on the counter, kill the game, or lock it down. We didn't either. Yeah, there was no plan B.
We didn't either.
The coach had no plan.
He had no plan.
And didn't make an adjustment to Wales' adjustment, and we were clearly dying for that. Plenty of things you can do. Switch to a 4-4-2, put another player in midfield. We're having trouble getting someone on the ball in the middle of the park. Like, we did bring on Haji Wright, who's the big target man, but two banks of four,
never
sit
got the ball.
Deep.
Yeah.
Like, last 20 minutes, like, that we would have been way better off. We were in between doing either or. When we won the ball back, Pulisic would kind of run with it. Then he, like, slowed down because we wanted to keep it, but we had nothing doing. Once we got the ball, we were wasteful with it. There was no game plan. These players looked lost out there, and that is on the coach. I have to blame the coach. You also have to blame the coach for bringing on Jordan Morris over Gio Reyna. Our best players sitting on the bench. Our coach makes no adjustment. Now, here's the deal. We have a great team, an absolutely great team. We have great players. I really can't slate the players. Zimmerman even played well, but he had a moment of madness. And you can't just kill a player for that. This player's ceiling is the coach.
Yeah.
The coach is literally an MLS coach. He tried to go to Europe, failed, managed in the MLS with a losing record.
Didn't do well in the US either.
He won nothing. He has a losing record in the MLS, losing record in like the Swedish league playing against Molde. He has no CV. He is not good at his job, and he is not on this level. And that is the problem, because our players are on this level, and man, he did get the starting 11 right, but he could not get a grip on this game, and he could not communicate to his players. And that's bad coaching, because if you are going to play Wales and you know they're going to be in a low block and they're going to be playing for a draw and you score that goal and you have no plan after that, that's insane. And that's what we saw. It made no sense. And this is what international football is it's clear these are young players, are impressionable. And if we had a plan and be like, all right, let's go to 4-4-2, let's lock it up.
Sir, he didn't just have a losing record.
We would have saw it.
It would have put less pressure. If you changed the formation and made the right subs, you would have put less pressure on Zimmerman to make that foul, because they were under the cosh
exactly.
The last 30 minutes because they couldn't hold onto the ball. And when they did have the ball, they didn't know what to do with it. Like, people looked, I don't know, they almost looked afraid of what to do. It looked like there's no plan, like you said. Sir, he didn't just have a losing record. Like, you could have like a 49% record. He had a 38% win record, sir, at the Columbus Crew. And he got made the U.S. men's national team coach. We've had probably the best squad we've ever had, and will only get better. And that's what's going to hold you back. So I'm rooting for him to figure it out in a big match, which comes up Friday.
And I
sir.
Want to remind everyone that we have the best team, bar none, by talent and the clubs they play for. We have the best team in CONCACAF, and we qualified in third, and it was nervy.
Yeah.
Like, you should, like, the manager can't just be judged upon the failure of not qualifying. The manager has to be judged on, what are you doing? Are you getting more out of the sum of the parts? Right now, we are not. Playing England is going to be nuts, because we need a result.
And they got one.
And I kind of like the back against the wall with this team. And Burkheffer's got to pull something out, because we got to be going at England. It has to be done the right way. But our counterattack didn't look good against Wales. We had no attack when it came to them coming at us and trying to get in behind. And so if countering is a weakness for this team, because it seems like Burkheffer only wants to play one way, which is on the ball, getting the wing backs forward, you know, overloading on the wing. Like, that's kind of how he wants to play. You're not going to be able to do that against England. So it's going to be very interesting to see what he comes up with, very interesting to see the starting 11. Again, the fact that Jordan Morris played on the field at the World Cup tells you everything you need to know.
He looks uncomfortable. I felt bad for Jordan Morris, sir. He literally looked like he didn't know what to do.
Sir, he looks like he needs to lose about 25 lbs. He is no good. The manager defended the pick by speed and power. Like, he had nothing doing at all. It's incredible. And this is why, when you look at England, who I will get up at 5 a.m. and watch them play Iran, England is so fit. And they play at such a level. I retract everything I said about England.
I know you did. You're talking a lot of shit.
Because I was thinking 2010 England. 2010 England had a lot of swag, and then we played it, and then we had some dogs on the team, and we got that draw, scrappy draw. England is just, they are so fit, and they're playing ready, on such a level.
And they
I mean, fuck us up. It was Iran, but at the end of the day, like, they
just. It could get ugly, bro. It could easily get ugly. And I don't think it will,
fitness.
But it could. Yeah, fitness. At the end, we were fading.
We're injured, dude. We're injured, and we have fitness problems. Like, England, everyone who's starting plays a lot, and they're very fit. They're right in the middle of season form. And I think that maybe the Winter World Cup is going to help England, because right now is like when you have peak fitness for EPL, and they're going to just use that in the tournament. I really think they look dangerous. It's going to be really interesting to see. It's either going to be like 0-0, 1-1, or it's going to be like 6-1. It's going to be either
there's no in between,
and I'm leaning towards 6-1.
You realize that all the English Manchester United fans that are here for that side of the pond, the American Devils, are going to be laughing at us, sir. After we said about England and the buildup. But I agree with you.
Maybe a little too confident.
Yeah, that's what we do, sir. That's what we do. But that's spot on. It's like the fitness. They look so fit. I mean, obviously, he brought the subs on, but they just look like
they're EPL ready, bro.
Like they're ready. You know, they play two games a week in the EPL, so that's not MLS. I'll tell you that.
Look, we're still 59% chance to qualify. To go through, given you know the draw. The whole thing is with it's you got to take it game by game. So it's on to England. If we get a point in England, that's like huge. The real issue is that if England beats us, and they're already guaranteed to go through, then there's kind of that Wales.
They would collude.
So if Wales beats Iran, they could collude for a draw.
Yep.
But Wales doesn't like England, and England doesn't like Wales. So, you know,
but
you have
they'd
to
rather
rely
have
on
Wales
that just
qualify.
Like, you know, 1,000 years of just like infighting in the UK where they just like don't like each other.
No, that's true.
As well as England, like if they beat Wales, they were guaranteed to play an easier team. So, like, I just think that England is just going to go for the jugular no matter what. And they're so deep that they play the B team that they'll just, like, slice Wales up. Like, So, I'm not afraid of that scenario. But the most likely scenario that we have, and this is why it comes down to, like, tournament international football, is that we cannot concede a lot of goals against England. That is what we – that has to be the focus, because it's going to come down – it very well could be – coming down to goal differential with Wales. If Wales is able to beat Iran, and we have to be like the number one Iran fans, honestly, that's like, we got to root for them to draw. Like, that's what we need.
So we'll keep you posted. American Red Devils, we're flying out Friday, like you mentioned at the beginning of the pod, to Dubai before we fly to Doha for Tuesday for the match against Iran. But I think what's the plan? So we're going to give a Sunday, maybe pod. I don't know what time they'll be in the US, but we'll keep people up to date. What's going on with United players and or how the England-United States match transpires?
Yeah, we'll land. The time zone is going to kill us. We'll try to get a pod out before the game. If not, we will definitely get one out after the game. I haven't packed. Yeah. I have like, so much work to do.
So I got stock like, on the oven.
I got in-laws coming tomorrow. I mean, we're like – the pod is on a string. So just want to give a big shout out to everyone. What a day. It seems like whenever like we're just like, hey, we want to chill, just do the World Cup. It's like, man, the Manchester United news is like flying right now. Seriously. And U.S. drama. And I'll tell you what, at least that Iran game is going to matter.
Yes, it will. And we'll be there.
It's going to be crazy.
And we'll keep our eyes out, sir. Hopefully we get another Laurent Blanc sighting, because that was fun last time. Maybe we'll see Wayne Rooney. Just him and I will be dogs. Dogs.
Hard to miss that head. That head.
He's getting bigger and bigger.
The head, I think it's just like the more dark ales you drink, your head at a certain age just like expands. It is like
impressive.
Should be concerned about our boy Wayne Rooney. Look, that is it. That's the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, sir, we did skip the PSA. That's how much we like it. Support us on Patreon. We're trying to get to 100 Patreon supporters. Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Check out our store, AmericaRedDevils.store. Pick up a shirt, scarf, everything you get. Supports the small-time operation. Check out our website as well, AmericaRedDevils.com. Like, subscribe, write a review. Everything you do helps. And we will be seeing you on the other side. Never been in the Middle East. I heard it's hot. I hear it's dry.
We'll find out.
We shall see. You got the top 10 downloads here?
I will have the top 10 downloads for you. I was just about to like drop a serious song, but I know you, of all people, would really appreciate. But I'm pulling up our top 10 downloads last 7 days right now. Number one, how you doing? Demarest, Georgia. Columbus, OH, Ohio. Crestline, California. Dothan, Alabama. Sebastopol, California. Brighton, Michigan. Queens, New York. Appreciate you. London, England. Cincinnati, OH, Ohio. That's your boy listening, sir, apparently. FC Cincinnati. Norfolk, Virginia. And last but not least, Washington, D.C. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you, sir. Like you mentioned, we thought we'd be chilling, just breaking down a USA game. But Manchester United, biggest club in the world, always in the news.
It's Nashville FC. It's not Cincinnati FC. Cincinnati FC sounds better.
Shout out. You know, shout out Cincinnati.
Shout out Cincinnati. All right, sir. What song you got?
Sir, I had to. Running down the wing. Man United sing. Viva Ronaldo. See you later, CR7.
Oh,